Welcome to the Temple of Geek. This is Lacey, your host for the special field trip episode, which I recorded at WonderCon with some of the good folks at that game company. I got to speak with head of community Robert Wing, narrative writer Jenny Kong, and art director Cecil Kim about an art book they have coming out, The Art of Sky, The Spiritual Evolution from Journey to Sky, and assorted other geek out goodies. So come along with me, enter the temple, and just absorb some good geek fun.
Hi, my name is Jenny Kong. I'm a narrative writer at that game company.
My name is Cecil Kim. I'm an art director at that game company.
I'm Robert Wing. I'm the head of community here at that game company. Sky is a multi-platform social adventure game. I said game, but experience may be the better word. Experience focused on connection, the kind of interactions that make you feel good. It's an exploration of both kind of the positive and the negative emotions we all feel and have the courage to open up to other people. There's a lot of game elements. There's a lot of elements that are more oriented towards socialization. There's a lot of elements that are oriented towards customization and self-expression. It's a very much work in progress experience that's difficult to describe in a single sentence because, yeah, as it continues to grow and we continue to develop it, it's always changing and kind of becoming more than it was the month before.
And it's very beautiful. I love the look and the feel and being in there and just flying around. Talk to me a little bit about seasons.
Sure. Season is the way of the cadence of introducing new content. Each season has a different theme and different characters and different like lore comes with it. It comes out every 3 months. And each 3 months, we start a new season from high-level direction to on the design side, the engineering side. Basically, we figure out what type of new gameplay feature we need. It could be simple as swimming mechanics. If we have a swimming ability, then how do we make it as more deeper gameplay, which requires controls and like testing and all that stuff? Two, do we want to introduce new multiplayer interaction in a bigger scale, right? So season is kind of like pockets of new experience, but it has, you know, always has something new and innovative things with it.
What's the next season coming up and when does it drop?
Well, we announced it. If you go into beta, or beta, which is publicly available through our Discord, you can see that there's a big emphasis on personal housing.
Yeah.
You can finally own your own home in Sky and decorate it.
I'm never going to own a real one.
Well, you know, sometimes we're inspired by reality. So,
It was even like more than 3 years ago. I actually did a bunch of sketches for Genova. He wanted to think about decorating holes ideas. And that was sitting in Google Drive for a long time. Something we wanted to do 3 years ago, but we didn't have enough resources. But now, slowly we're getting to the point, and it's much better than what I imagined. Codename was Season of IKEA.
This is one of those examples where the player is like, they've always really wanted this. And so I think like we kind of look back and said like, okay, what are we doing for this season? Like, what are things that, you know, feedback we've heard from players? And a big part of it was kind of the desire to have their own space, to decorate and have friends over for that perfect dinner party.
That's cool. I was curious about like how you guys come up with and develop new seasons, because on the panel, they were all saying how guys just going to exist for 600 years. It's never going to stop. You must have a heck of a pipeline.
It's persistent, right? There's new things. Like when you rewrap up one thing and it's like, well, what are we passionate about? What are we hearing from the players?
It's the creative comes from the bottom up.
Yep.
As long as we cultivate the culture, we're never going to run out of ideas. I mean, if someone asks me, what do you want to do with this guy? I have 20 different ideas I can think of right away. And probably he has. We're not going to stop.
So community is a huge aspect of the game. How did that grow out of the little spark and seed of it that we saw in Journey into the vast social game that Sky is? And how do you keep it going?
I can speak to the early years and Robert can speak to the game as it is live right now. I think when Journey came out, we had so many players email us or, you know, write us fan letters. Again, this was, you know, in the early stages of social media. And a lot of what they found special about Journey was these random encounters that they didn't expect, meeting somebody out in this vast environment, you know, after traveling on their own. A lot of people thought it was a one-player game. And so I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And it was such a magical, unexpected, spontaneous moment. And that was what for the most part, resonated with a lot of players, no matter whether they traveled towards the end with the same person or not. Maybe they met or lost that first player that they encountered, they met a second one. The idea of traveling towards the end together with someone was very special to them. And so we wanted to build that aspect out. And how could we do that? In the panel, we talked about the game maybe being a very controlled online game first. And then when we started thinking about, oh, there's social elements and it's not just an online four-player game, can we build it out to more? That was kind of the blueprint of beta testing, which we did between 2017 and 2019. And then that aspect of game development changed the course of Sky entirely. The idea that we now have fans and players who are walking with us side by side, sharing with us their experiences, what they like, what they would want out of the game. And they're kind of almost like, you know, a co-designer with us, if you will, in all aspects and encouraging us, you know, through the way. We're nearly 5 years in and Rob has seen a lot of how that game has evolved since it launched officially in 2019.
Yeah, and I think like what you tend to see today, right, is, you know, it's kind of still some of that like ships passing in the night sort of experience you get with Journey, right, where you run into a random stranger and now you can kind of, a lot of times you see people like open with a bow, right, like they light each other up and then they open with a bow and then there's this kind of like consensual nature of the conversation. And so they'll talk and maybe it's like, hey, where are you from? Or, hey, like, I like your cape. There's just these very like short kind of icebreakers. And, you know, a lot of times what we see is people become friends. And then because this is up to an 8-person lobby most of the time, they'll kind of like have their friend and then like run into somebody else and make a new friend. And I think one of the most fascinating things in our studio is most of us have actually had the direct experience. Like, we hear about it, but we also experience it as we play. I still log in pretty regularly and like I have friends in Japan who I've met in real life. These are our in-person fan programs. And I'll go in and say hey to them and they'll introduce me to their friend. Listen, it's a very deliberate and connective and a very social experience. And I think, like, to me, as someone who wasn't around at all for Journey, and I joined TGC at the tail end of 2020, it's very fascinating to see how all that grew out of this simple experience where you ran into this person and you had, like, fairly limited ability to actually communicate with them. So I find it pretty inspirational. I don't know if that sounds cheesy, but, like, yeah, you know, Genova often talks about really wanting to push, you know, the medium of gaming to be beyond, like, what it is in any given time. And I oftentimes feel like we're doing that in terms of just building something that really is about like vulnerability, that's about connection, that's about, you know, hopefully the best virtues of people coming together as opposed to, you know, mercilessly dunking on them all the time.
You know, we talk about this in the art book a lot of we really want to make a game about connection and compassion and altruism. And it's not something that you can easily test, right, in design without players. One of the things that we found actually in Journey that did translate in Sky is this concept of being an altruistic player. If you're a veteran Sky player, a lot of time you see, you know, newbies and mobs that come in. And the idea that players will want to help other players and introduce them to the community out of their own, you know, goodwill and accord is something that we would hope for, but not really in our wildest dreams would we expect to see it en masse like it has been over the last 5 years.
Yeah, and now you tend to see on Reddit, right, like threads where people will basically like vie for the opportunity to kind of shepherd around Ubisoft moths, right? So they'll hang out like in our starting spaces and like wait to find a new player, especially at platform launches, right? So when Switch launch, when PlayStation launch, we'd basically have people talking about it in Reddit threads, getting ready to like, hey, how are we welcoming them? Like, where should we go? There's a particularly difficult part of the experience referred to, we call it Eye of Eden.
I'm familiar.
Right, I was going to say, so you played it, and I think, like, all right, watching players be like, all right, look, this is going to be tough when they first get in. Maybe they haven't played many games. I'm going to help get them through it. When you have an experience of Eye of Eden with another person, similar to the trials from Trial or Season of Prophecy, it makes it all the better because you realize, like, that person didn't have to wait for you. Right. When you were struggling, like I had in Trial of Earth, a very real experience of this where I like could not make one of the final jumps. And I thought a person had left and they stayed and just waited for like 15 minutes. And like, I actually got kind of misty eyed, you know, when I was like on the other side and like they were like cheering me on. And
it's so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, the game is so sweet.
And it's just, it's a very different experience. And it's, yes, it's a game. And obviously there are like gamified mechanics, but it's also just like an exploration of like how you could be with people as opposed to maybe how we are every day and like the very casually cruel nature of social media at times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cecil, I want to talk to you a little bit. What is your art background?
I study illustration. So that was like my sick. The school didn't have any program for video game development. It was quite new. And I started my career first company I worked at was Square. I worked on Parasite Eve and Final Fantasy IX. That development experience is very different from that game company because Square is such a big team. They know what they're doing. They've been doing this Final Fantasy franchise for over a decade. You know, I'm trying to understand, you know, how it works and how everyone working together. We are growing every month, every season, because the game is becoming bigger. It's winning more people.
Yeah, I was curious, since a couple of you have come from larger game studios, what do you feel or experience is different or sets the smaller game dev studio apart from a big company like Sony or Square?
Not all indie studios are same, but I think we have more freedom to try things, taking more risk. And also, like, everyone can put input, meaning even though I'm not a level designer, I can sketch something and say, what about this, you know? Or even an animator can suggest cool fashion style, you know? So when we discuss things together, it's like everyone very collaborative. And I think it's possible because we try so hard to everyone in the team and also the new hire to understand our philosophy and goal that we're trying to achieve, accomplish.
How large is the team now?
170, I think.
70.
And ballparks.
Our team alone is not right now 25, but arts with the sound and music too. That is not a big team at all for a game that's been played by 200 million people.
Okay, talk to me about the evolution onto PC because I can't play phone or console games anymore. I've been starting to be able to get back into PC gaming. So I want to know, like, when's the coming of PC? What are the controls going to be like?
It's either April 10th or April 11th. I think it's April 10th. So, you know, I'm a PC first gamer as well. And I've actually been playing Sky on PC since, like, a build was available. The challenge with every platform is, you know, you don't just want to take, like, the version of the game that's on mobile and just kind of like jam it on like another thing. So I think you have to kind of like look at like, hey, what are the expectations within those endemic communities for like Switch, for PlayStation, now for PC? I work with Elena Nakora, who's the producer leading the strike on that a lot. We talk about like, what are the expectations? And so we're active on the Steam forums, talking to players firsthand and kind of saying, well, do you like this? Does this feel right? Does this make sense? And so with PC, some of the specific things is like, there's an expectation around like bus mapping, like customization of different options when it comes to like sound and lighting. And so we've like worked really hard with the team to kind of like bring Sky up to that level to where it makes sense on our PC client. The next step is really kind of early access on the PC build for us, because I think we realize we have like more to do on that front to make it like live up to being the full experience we want it to be. But it plays pretty smoothly. And I will say, like, Sky is just always a gorgeous game to look at. And so I think on PC and then PlayStation as well, really, really shines. I find it easier than like holding the phone.
The phone was nice that it was on the phone.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yeah.
But like the console, I like PC is big and pretty.
I played it on an iPad way back in the day. So before I ever like thought of working at that game company, like I played Sky on an iPad and I was like beautiful, but I was like, this is not the ideal state for me playing this game, right? So PC for me is like the final form.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It feels really good to play and it looks really good. Also having a keyboard just built into the experience, like for the social element, just makes it a lot easier to have conversations. Cause I think like a lot of younger people are very used to like playing and typing on their phones. I'm 36, I'm turning 37 next month. And so like, for me, I'm just like, no, I'm going to type on a PC. I think it's going to be a really great way to enjoy Sky. And I'm really hopeful that for folks maybe who in like the US or Europe are used to playing games on PC, right? It's like a very organic and seamless opportunity for them to try it.
Yeah. And then big benefit of PC release is we're going to see more people, content creators, going to stream and tell their own story. So you might also guide us certain direction that we want to have different features.
I like that you guys not only are open to player feedback like that, but like actively seek it out. And you seem delighted by when players do random unexpected things, like how they would go and seek out the lightning strikes in the seasons.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because when you bring in like these different ports, right? Like, okay, there's like different player demographics. There's people from different parts of the world, and trying to keep the game accessible for everyone while also making it like a satisfying enough gameplay experience. Like it does actually introduce some really like unique hurdles of like, well, this demographic says this, so this may be too hard. This demographic says it's too easy. And then like for us, it's kind of like trying to like look through this feedback and be like, okay, well, they're saying different things, which is the most correct answer. So it's fun, and it's always a unique challenge when you're trying to build something that like people can play with their kids or their mothers, right?
I know. What do you love about the game or working at that game company or me dropping my pen on the floor.
That's my favorite.
That is interesting.
Okay, so in 2021, end of the year, I proposed a in-person fan experience called Sky Assemblies, which is basically these community-run events we put on where players come together and they meet in real life. They get a chance to honk and bow and be weirdos in front of each other. I'm very excited about that. I think we've had 2 good years of the program so far. Last year for our 4th anniversary, we had 5 events in 5 different parts of the world, all in the span of 1 month. And I think we have some big plans for in-person events this year. And I think that's what I'm most geeked out about is seeing those people meet for the first time who've been like playing a game since like the pandemic, getting to kind of like go to that like next step of their friendship. I'm a little awkward in front of like large groups of people, I find, but like I like to be off in the distance, kind of like, nice, they're friends. That's sick.
Yeah. What about you, Cecil?
I mean, I've been in the industry almost 3 decades now. And when I worked on a certain game a long time ago, and suddenly people talking about it, people came up to me and say, that was my best childhood or whatnot. And for example, Final Fantasy IX.
No idea.
No one talked about it for a long time. And suddenly, where all these people came from? And they're telling me I was 9 years old, 8 years old when I played the game. And I realized game is really something bigger than just a movie. Because when you think about game playing, you think about that room, you think about the smell, think about the small tiny TV monitor, think about your cousin came and sit down and play with you. And it's just, I love working in game industry for that reason. And I think game has such a good medium to make a really good positive impact, whether just young people or family or not. The fact that we are working on the game that wanted to do that. And I think it's happening. Like Sky, when we first released the game, 90% of my friends, what are you doing this game? What is this? It's boring. And I'm like, yeah, but animation is great, isn't it? Visual is great, but a lot of my friends got it. But now after 5 years, we're getting all these letters that are, we didn't know how like introverted people or like we're just gonna see this as healing or make them feel like loved and care, you know? It's out there. There's someone else to do that. And I think that's what makes me get up in the morning and feel like, wow, I'm doing something meaningful.
I love that. I don't remember if it was you or UA that said the game is about connection. Loved that. Because it is. It's just so nice.
Yeah. And that can be seen as completely one way too. As a parent, when the kids playing games, they worry about, you know, who you're talking to and like with all this stuff that, you know,
some random bald guy holding a spear. Darn.
Robert's obtained a spear. He has not put it down since we finished the panel.
I'm guarding the interview.
How do you approach safety and harassment in game? Because you have opportunities for a connection, but that comes with its own risks.
When it comes to this, we actually have like a dedicated player support team, and they're definitely more the experts on this. So what I would comment is kind of tangential. But I would say that it's something that, yeah, we take very seriously. We're aware that a lot of our players are younger. This is not an approach. This is just an observation. Generally, Sky tends to attract, I would say, good people. We're very fortunate in that respect. A game where it's non-violent, a game that is, you know, very much fairly friendly. But for sure, like we've had people that have come in and maybe they've communicated in ways that are not appropriate. Maybe they've gotten to a point within the relationships where they've tried to go to places that are just not correct and we don't allow. And we have to go in and handle those. What I'll say is like, I feel pretty good about like what the player support team has done in the last 4 or 5 years, but it is a constant battle. You have to keep a weather eye on it, right? There's a big responsibility that comes with a game that kind of, you know, goes with our audience, right? It's something we have to constantly keep working on. So wish I could say more, but like I said, I'm kind of like a bystander when it comes to this sort of thing. So,
I mean, I appreciate that you guys have a dedicated team for it.
Yep.
Okay, Jenny, what about you?
I want to just give a shout out to the players in the community. One of the things that I don't think we really ever expected, you know, the best case scenario of the game success is that enough people play it. This is a kind of pre-launch. Enough people play it, they care about it. We can continue making games for that game company. Hopefully they understand what we're trying to do with the world, with the characters, with the lore and connecting players. And I think 5 years on, it blows my mind that the compassionate behaviors have spilled over into a lot of in real life results. So starting in 2020, we did our first kind of nonprofit partnership and campaign with Doctors Without Borders, which was in lieu of COVID, actually helping obviously those in the front line. We raised over $1 million, if you can believe it, for our fans playing in the game because it cared that much about helping out, not just helping each other out in the game, as we discussed, but helping out each other out in real life. And over the course of the 5 years, there's been one or two nonprofits with charitable components and partners that we continue to work with, and it's integrated as part of our days of events. We've partnered with the Ocean Cleanup, which obviously is focused on sustaining the purity of, you know, our oceans and waters and everything like that. And that partnership has grown stronger year by year. We're helping the teams obviously build out new machines to collect garbage and trash and everything else from different oceans. We're working with a lot of other partners. And I think today, at least from last year, our fans have raised over $5 million to help those in need and also environmental projects. That for me just blows my mind. If you said that to me and the team, I say pre-launch in 2019, it wouldn't have believed them. Yeah, so that's the most special part of it. And the fans pretty much led the way with this.
That's incredible. Tell me to close out about the art book.
I'll take that one. That game company has developed an art book specializing in covering the first 7 years of the development of Sky, the game. It's available for pre-order right now and it'll be distributed around summertime. And it's really an overview and an invitation for our fans to kind of step into the past with us. We really saw the fans as almost like a co-designer of the game with us. And we really share really the highs and lows of development. A lot of the inspirations that we, you know, found and we explored and we sketched out for the art and developing the different designs and story. The fans will see a lot of content and concept art that didn't make it into the game and that kind of ongoing iterative process. Yeah, we're really excited to finally get it into the hands of our fans. I think they've been asking about the art book for a long time. So hopefully they enjoy reading it. We'd love to hear their feedback when it's available.
That's all I have. Anything else you guys want to add on?
Just that PC early access soon. We're still doing the wishlisting things. I need to hear this. You know, it's before April 10th. Feel free to wishlist Sky and then, yeah, join us when it drops on PC. We're excited to get all. We kind of have like different platform mods. So we have like the Switch mods, the PlayStation mods. It's just a new player. So we invite you to come be a PC moth and hang out with the rest of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming to WonderCon with me. If you want to order the Art of Sky art book, it's available for pre-order on thatskyshop.com until April 22nd. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or topics you'd like on an upcoming podcast episode, please reach out to us at Temple of Geek on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. Thanks for listening. Until next time.